I hope you can hear me at the back, yeah? Well, good morning, everybody. You can see that I'm about to do a presentation because I've changed my suit from yesterday. So it's nice to see you all here again today. Before I start, it may be an idea for me to explain who I am, because as you can see, I'm Indian in origin. My family came from India, but I was born in Kenya in East Africa. My father was born there as well, because my grandfather had moved there many, many years ago. And then in the early 1960s, my father went as a migrant worker from Kenya to England. And the family followed a few years later, and I went to England at the age of 11. So I went straight into secondary school and made my way through school, went to university, started teacher training, and then started teaching in London about 25 years ago. It's a long, long time ago now. And then as my career progressed, I worked in different parts of the country, and I've been inspecting schools for 17 years now, mainly secondary schools. And I joined Ofsted about 5 years ago. Yeah, so that gives you an idea of the kind of background that I come from. Now, David was talking about Ofsted, the different categories that schools can come into once they fail their inspection. Yeah. Now, that's quite a serious step for an inspection team to take, to actually fail a school or to put it into a particular category, because it means that the school is being stigmatized, or that's how people would see it. Now, when that happens, people like me then go in to monitor the school over a period of maybe years, maybe 3-4 years, but normally about 2 years, yeah, to see what kind of progress it's making. Now, what I'd like to do for the next 40 minutes, maybe a bit longer, is to take you through the various categories, how they are arrived at by various inspection teams, and then to take you through a case study of a school in London that I was involved in, to show what the school did, what my involvement and the involvement of my colleagues was, not David, but other colleagues who were working with me over a period of a couple of years, and to see what happened, yeah? If you've got any questions, I know it's a bit difficult because of the interpretation and so on, I suggest you leave them to when I stop, and then we can take it through, yeah? No, yeah, that's the one, thank you. Now, the system, as David was saying, was set up in 1993, and that's 12 years ago, and there have been a lot of changes in those 12 years for inspecting schools. When I first started inspecting schools for Ofsted in 1993, there was a 7-point scale, and schools were judged from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1 was excellent, and 7 was very poor. Yeah. 2 was very good, 3 was good, 4 was satisfactory, 5 was unsatisfactory, 6 was poor, and 7 was very poor. So inspection teams went into school and looked at everything for a week, and then at the end, on Thursday evening, they had to make a judgment as to whether the school was providing a satisfactory standard of education or not. So if they were graded 4 and below, the school was in difficulties. I have to say that the vast majority of schools are satisfactory. They are better than that, many of them, yeah? So we're talking about a very small proportion of schools. Now, over the years, that was the original scale. Over the years, the scale then changed to a 5-point scale. So it went from 1, which was very good, to 5, which was poor. And now from September of this year, 2005, we're looking at a 4-point scale from September. So as you can see, 1 is outstanding, 2 is good, 3 is satisfactory, and 4, when a school hits 4, it's inadequate, and then it ends up in difficulties. Yeah. So any school that's graded 4, HMI would go in after a while. Yeah. Now, David referred to special measures, thank you. And this is the most serious category that a school can fall into. what it means, in effect, and you can see it there and in your translation, is that the school is failing to provide, or likely to fail to provide, an acceptable standard of education for its pupils. And it can apply to any school, yeah, primary, secondary, special. So it's failing or likely to fail to provide an acceptable standard of education. And this can arise for a number of reasons. And normally, when an inspection team goes in, they're looking at how good or how bad the school is. And by Tuesday, Wednesday of the inspection week, you have a pretty good idea of where the school is heading. When it goes into special measures, and as I said before, it's quite a serious decision for an inspection team to take. The inspection team would look at criteria like these. Is there significant underachievement by groups of youngsters? So if you have a mixed multicultural school with Bangladeshi children, Chinese children, white working class children, and so on, is any one particular group underachieving through their exam results and their assessment results and in classrooms and so on? Yeah? That's one factor that would take into account. Another important factor that inspection teams would take into account is to look at the proportion of teaching which is unsatisfactory. Yeah. Now, at the moment, we look at 90% of the teaching. I'm sorry, that's the slide that's missing, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, sorry, I'd forgotten about that, yeah. Thank you, Stoza. Yeah. I'm sorry, my secretary forgot to include that for you. Many apologies for that. So just going back to the points I was making, is there significant underachievement by particular groups of pupils? Is the teaching 90% satisfactory or better? So that means if 10% of the teaching across the school is unsatisfactory, then the school is heading into problems. Yeah. The role of the head teacher and senior managers in the school, are they effective in managing the school? Yeah. Do they have a clear vision of where the school is heading? Are there management structures in place to make sure that standards are being enhanced all the time, pupils are making progress, and that teaching is getting better and better? Ineffective leadership and management is another thing they would look at. And the most obvious one, which you can see the minute you walk into a school, is there a breakdown of discipline on the part of pupils? Is there bad behavior? Are there bad relationships and so on within the school? And the final point that they would look at is there significant racial tension between different types of groups? Yeah. Obviously, this only applies to inner city, multicultural schools. You wouldn't get that in rural, white areas. Yeah. Now, I've given you a number of reasons, five main ones there. If there's only one of them present, the school can still be failed if the inspection team thinks that it's serious enough. Yeah. But normally, it's a combination of two, maybe three. But one will do. One will do if it's serious enough. And then the other things that the inspection team would look at are overall attendance rates in school. So for a secondary school, if the overall attendance rate over the last year, the last calendar year, not academic year, is below 90%, the inspection team would want to know why that is. For a primary school, it's about 95%. Yeah, so attendance is an important indicator. As you know, we've got the national curriculum, which is a legal requirement on all maintained state schools. And if a school is not meeting legal requirements, then we would want to know why, or the inspectors would want to know why. And as I said earlier, poor behavior, noisy, aggressive behavior, poor relationships. Obviously, the school's not in a healthy state when that's happening. We would also look at exclusion rates. Are pupils are too many pupils being suspended or excluded, either temporarily or permanently, within the school? And if that is the case, we would want to know why. Because the school is obviously not engaging those youngsters. We would talk to teachers, or the inspection team would talk to teachers, and find out whether staff, and that's not just teaching staff, it's non-teaching staff in the school as well, whether the morale is high or low or whatever, and whether they have confidence in the head teacher and the senior managers in the school. So those are all the key indicators for schools requiring special measures, yeah? Now, there is another category, which is schools with serious weaknesses. And I'm sure you've got that slide on your photocopy. Now, special measures is very, very serious. That's the worst category a school can fall into. But the next category, which is not as serious, is when a school has serious weaknesses in parts of its provision, although overall the inspection team would say that it's all right, but there are serious weaknesses in particular parts. Like a school may have unsatisfactory teaching of about 8%, 9%, yeah? Or some groups of pupils are not making enough progress in their learning. Or that the principal or head teacher of the school is ineffective along with the senior managers. So that they may be ineffective, but the teachers are doing a good job and making sure that the children, the students are progressing. Yeah. Or that poor behavior or attendance is not being tackled adequately. Or when there are indications that the ethos of the school, yeah, the relationships, the behavior, and so on, is not quite what it should be. Yeah. Now, if that any one of those indicators are in place, then the school could be judged to have serious weaknesses. Yeah. Now, HMI would go into schools with special measures, and over the last 3 years, we've started monitoring schools with serious weaknesses as well on a regular basis. There is another category, and I won't dwell too much on this. It's what's known as an underachieving school, which I don't think you've got a slide on that for on your photocopy. An underachieving school is when, as you probably know, we've got test results for children at ages 11, 14, and obviously at 16 when they leave compulsory school. Now, in a secondary school, if a child comes in with high test results at age 11 and is leaving at age 16, not having achieved very much, so maybe meeting what we would call the national average, then that child in 5 years has not made much progress. So there's something not right with the school. Yeah. So we look at the value added. So if there is a high-achieving child at age 11, he or she should be achieving highly at age 16 as well. And if they're not, because it's normally groups of youngsters where this happens to be evident, if they're not, then there's something wrong, and the inspection team would say that the school is not achieving as much as it should do, given its catchment area, the kind of youngsters that it's drawing up from. Yeah. And finally, this applies especially to youngsters in the sixth form. So we'll look at the ages 16 to 19. Now, along with the Czech Republic, we have some pretty big secondary schools, and they have some large sixth forms. I've inspected schools with a sixth form of 600 young people. Yeah. But 200, 300 is not unusual in many of our schools. And the sixth form is quite a specific entity within the school. And obviously, youngsters are at a critical age because they're from, many of them maybe think you're going on to further and higher education. They may be pursuing courses that they want to pursue for a particular career. But if the sixth form is not meeting their needs, then the school is not managing the situation properly. So inspection teams would ask whether the sixth form is providing an acceptable standard of education for 16 to 19 year olds, yeah? And are there any significant weaknesses in the provision for sixth form students? And if the inspection team decides that that is the case, then not the whole school, but just the sixth form is said to be inadequate. Yeah, just the sixth form. Now, that is an overview of the different categories. It sounds that we specialize just in these schools. We don't. In terms of numbers, there are very low numbers in England that the schools are put into categories. If we have the next slide, that's right, thank you. If we overall, out of 28,000 schools, only at the latest figures I have is that schools in special measures, there are only 326. So the proportion is quite small. The ones that have serious weaknesses, we've got 45, and obviously 30 that are in the underachieving category. And I couldn't, unfortunately, get hold of data for inadequate sixth forms. So it's very, very small numbers overall that we're talking about. What I'd like to do is I'll move on to the case study, but I'm perfectly happy to stop here for a few moments in case anybody wants to ask questions about the various categories. Please ask. Okay.